Welcome to The After Party, the weekly follow-up to sermons from Harbor of Hope Christian Church in Chelmsford, Massachusetts. We sit down every Sunday with the pastor who spoke and dive deeper into the topic from each week. Without further ado, join the party. Welcome back to another week of The After Party. I'm your host, Jeff, and I'm here once again with Amy Chaney.
Hello.
For the last and final week of the series, Fightin' Words.
That's right.
Finished off strong, if I do say so for
you. It is bittersweet.
Yeah, and I hope we get to talk about the series as a whole.
Yeah.
But before we jump into it, will you talk about what you spoke on today?
Yeah. Today, we talked about connection. And the bottom line of the whole thing is that we are made to be connected to God. Through Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross, we're able to be connected to our creator, to the creator of the universe. And through that connection, we get what we need, the nourishment and the formation that we need to then connect to people in a way that is in line with what God's designed us for. But we spend an awful lot of time as people focusing on our connections to people. And like broken connections to people. And what we really need to be doing is checking our connection to God, which is what we do through prayer and through worship. And we talked a bit about prayer as something that we misinterpret as like this one-sided conversation where if you're, you know, demanding things from God and telling him all the things you want him to change about your life, and then you don't hear like a big booming James Earl Jones voice coming from the sky, then what's the point? In all seriousness, though, like prayer is a real hurdle for a lot of people for that reason, I think. And we talked about the fact that the point of prayer isn't to convince God to change your circumstances or to get him to say yes to your requests, but the purpose of prayer is to invite God into your heart, to form you, to produce fruit of the Spirit in you, to change the way you see and love the world. Prayer is about changing you, not about changing your circumstances, which is a big pill to swallow for some people. But it's also so necessary because God is delivering on that all the time. And we miss it when we're expecting some other sort of result. So pray.
Great. So, and you talked a lot about conflict. Obviously, this series is on conflict, so I meant connection.
Haven't stopped talking about conflict for 5 weeks.
You talked a lot about connection and relying on your connection to God.
Yeah.
And you used the metaphor from John chapter 15, about the vine and the branches. And it just got me thinking about gardening because it's so, pardon the pun, it's so ripe with meaning.
Yeah,
and I'll edit that out later.
No, you won't. No, you have to keep that there.
but I want to know, because I remember very clearly last year you set out on a challenge to garden. Can you tell us about that experience? Because obviously you're so experienced with gardening.
You're so mean. This is like the third time you've been really mean to me on this podcast.
You can be mean when I preach.
Oh, I will.
Great.
No, I'm kidding. Yes, I very publicly declared about 6 months ago-ish, the spring of last year, I publicly declared that my husband and I were going to start homesteading our land. And we did build these like beautiful planters and we planted a garden. We raised seedlings from seed indoors all throughout the beginning of spring last year. We got some chickens. We were like all ready to be
complete.
Okay, all the chickens are still alive despite a very close encounter with a coyote. For Wonder Chicken, almost died by coyote bite. But what we failed to take into account is that chickens will eat your seedlings. So,
yeah, that makes
sense. We planted all of these seedling plants, and then we were like, hey, chickens, go poop in the plants because it's fertilizing. That's what they say, right?
Yeah.
Like chicken poop's good for the growth of plant. I can't believe we're talking about chicken poop on
That's
the podcast.
All right. It's fair game.
Anyway, then they ate all the seedlings and then we just never got our game back.
Mm-hmm.
We like bought the half grown plants from Home Depot and we tried and we got a few tomatoes, but it was really pretty sad. So I think we're trying again this year, but I have to confirm that with my husband, who's the one, frankly, who really cares the most for the living things that are not human in our house.
That makes sense. That's very Chuck, too.
Yes, he's the best one of us.
Great.
For sure.
But you saw a lot about how gardening requires effort.
Yes.
And sustenance. And
yes.
We'll get into that as well. But I do want to talk about connection a little bit, because you're what I took from it was conflict is the means to strengthening a relationship.
Yeah.
So the opposite. Yeah. Generally, it can go one way or the other.
Yeah.
And you were saying the opposite of connection is not conflict. The opposite of connection is no connection.
Correct.
We're jumping around a little bit, but let's talk about the lack of connection in our society.
Yeah.
If you don't mind, you talked on it a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, how do you see this lack of connection, this overuse of technology and social media making us more disconnected?
Yeah. I mean, I see it. I'll confess a little bit here. I see it. It's a tendency in my own life that I have to pay close attention to. I am an introvert. Nobody believes me when I say that, but I am. I love people, but I really value my time alone. It's what recharges me. And I will very easily, if I don't pay attention, get sucked into reading blogs and goofy things on the internet, on my phone, on the couch, instead of like spending time in conversation with my people that are at home with me. And that is like a constant tension in my own just like tendency. But I don't think I'm alone. I think that's something that a lot of people share.
Yeah. Oh, it's so easy to check out into
it feels so good to check out.
Yes.
It feels so good because we are so busy and we are so stressed. And, you know, I actually don't feel like I am among the most stressed people on the planet, like at all, not even close. I really enjoy my work and I love my family and my relationships are generally healthy. But on a day where I've had a long day, it feels so good to just shut my brain down.
Oh, yeah.
And it's very easy to do that just scrolling through your phone. Yes. So I think we see a lot of that. It's like coping mechanisms kind of gone wrong.
Sure.
When what would really help us is to invest in people. But we have so many other ways to do it that are like immediately gratifying that it's... like people are risky. The internet is not as risky, right? Like you can open Facebook and generally you know what you're going to see.
Right.
For the most part. There are absolutely exceptions here.
Of course.
But you know that you're going to see lots of, if you're my age, if you're in your mid-30s, which is true now, that you're going to see people's kids and their pets and you're going to see people posting about their jobs and like, you know what you're going to see when you sit down at a table with another person, you have no idea what they're going to bring. Right. And that's a thing. I think that we get lazy. We would rather go to the place that we can predict, you know, what we're going to receive from rather than take the risk of actually being with a person.
Yeah. Well, so statistically, young people are getting less promiscuous than they used to be.
And which you think is a good thing.
But it's not based off morality in any
I know.
Way. It's based off of this access to technology where dating apps make connection all or nothing all at once.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, at least from a distance, they seem risk-free. Which obviously, they're not. But also access to other things online that make human interactions, you know, they take effort and they're difficult. And other things are just so much easier that young people are choosing to be less, not just less promiscuous, but less relationship oriented because the ease of access for apps and internet things are ever present with, you know, I think you get the implication.
Yeah.
Where they're at, but they're choosing things less because they're in their own world.
Yeah.
And they can be.
I mean, I work with teenagers. I work with middle and high school aged kids 5 days a week. And they will readily say that people don't date anymore.
Yeah.
They talk,
you
know, like whatever that means. And they are either in a full blown, like very serious and usually unhealthy relationship in high school, if it's that intense, or nothing, or they hook up and they don't, you know, have a relationship, and that it's like very different than the way I grew up. But
where you start slow and move into things instead of
even if it isn't slow, it's still like the aim is to get a boyfriend or a girlfriend. It's very strange. You don't even hear that word very much anymore, which is so disorienting for adults. Like if you're an adult listening and you have a teenage person that you love, this is a thing. Pay attention. Talk to your kids about it because the landscape out there is changing like a whole lot because of our hypo connectedness, which is one of the words I use today. And hyper connected, they go hand in hand.
Yes, they influence one another.
Yeah.
So the we are hyper connected social media wise, but hypo connected to one another, and it's easier because we avoid conflict that way. But it ultimately does not strengthen our relationships because we're not in that conflict. So what is the benefit of conflict in?
Yeah.
Or well, excuse me, what is the benefit of conflict to connection?
Yeah.
How do they work together?
They work together because they're the same thing.
Yeah.
Like relationships, even the best ones. Like I love my husband, but being in a marriage is one giant conflict. It's two different people coming together to become a single life, a single being. And that is beautiful and remarkable, and we aren't fighting all the time. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is when two different entities try to come together and become one thing, that is inherently a conflict.
Sure.
It's differences joining together. And sometimes it turns into something beautiful, like a long, healthy marriage. Other times it goes wrong. Like, and there are plenty of marriages that go awry that end in divorce and are hurtful to people. But there isn't such thing as a relationship that isn't made of conflict or strengthened by it. And there is no such thing as a conflict that is relationless.
Conflict has to happen in the context of a relationship.
Exactly. Yeah. Conflict is inherently a connection. It is a relationship and it is a connection. It's just one that is needing attention. And relationships are inherently conflicts because they are differences joining together, which is not a way that we normally think about. Like sitting down to have a cup of coffee with your friend, you don't think about that as a conflict, but give it any amount of time and it could easily become a recognizable conflict.
Which is kind of why I hate the term in loving relationships, like you complete me.
Yeah.
It's like, there's more to it than that. It's not just a puzzle piece getting together.
Right.
And ultimately, this connection and this conflict, you know, informed your sermon today of how we connect to God.
Yeah.
And the beautiful metaphor of the vine being connected to us as the branches being connected to the vine as a life source, as like sustenance, as providing water and life. And then we then produce fruits of the Spirit. Can you tell us more about that? Do you have any more thoughts that you didn't get to share on that?
Yeah. I mean, I think I talked pretty in depth about it for the most part, but what is striking to me is how accidental the fruit is. Like you don't look at a grapevine and think, wow, those branches are working so hard.
Right.
The fruit just happens. And that's part of it. I mean, the passage in Galatians that we read from Galatians chapter 5, where Paul is listing out the fruit of the Spirit, he lists them actually like as a singular group. He calls it the fruit of the Spirit, not just not the fruits, plural, which is something that was always interesting to me. But when you think about it, it's because when you are fully connected to the vine, when you're being nourished and filled up by the Holy Spirit, you don't just like get over the course of your life one of the fruit at a time.
Right.
You don't just like get patience today and self-control tomorrow. You get them all. It's all or nothing. It's like it's like an entire little bundle of grapes being produced all at one time, not one at a time, but that it is a snapshot, a picture of what a life full of the Holy Spirit looks like is all of these things working together all the time. That's what Jesus looked like.
Yeah,
that's why
that.
We think he's so special. And oh my gosh, he is. I didn't just say that Jesus is you might have to edit that out now.
No, just kidding. Go for it.
But we do kind of mistakenly, I think, look at Jesus and think that his way of treating people is unattainable. And mm-hmm. we too quickly dismiss that as a possibility for us. Mm-hmm. And it's true that he is a completely perfect person and we mm-hmm. are imperfect. And so there's a brokenness thing there. Mm-hmm. But at any given moment in the midst of a conflict, we can mm-hmm. treat people the way Jesus did.
Yes.
We have the ability right. to. We don't get it right all the time, but we're able to act like him.
That's why I still wear my What Would Jesus Do bracelet.
Yes, yeah. but that's what that's born out of. So yeah, that's of course. Funny. Yeah. That's funny, but it's also exactly what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, Jesus didn't come to set an unattainable example mm-hmm. to us. He came to show us that we can be connected to God mm-hmm. and we can mm-hmm. bear the fruit of the Spirit and we can look at people who are offending us and yelling at us and resisting us and making us angry, and we can actually meet them with love. Mm-hmm. It isn't impossible. It isn't right. something that only Jesus can do. Right. We can do it.
Yeah. So as someone who was like inherently connected to God and the Spirit, he embodied mm-hmm. the fruit of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And so I really did like when you said that we can, that it is not something we can't do.
Yeah.
That we get to be one with him in this, as we connect with God and are one with Christ, we yeah. get to be that as well.
So important. Don't yeah. sell yourself short. You've yeah. got the power of the Holy Spirit in you. Recently, if I can tell a story.
Yeah.
This past week, a colleague of mine had a loss in her family. Mm-hmm. She lost a family member and was very sad in school one day, understandably, as she found out. And our students just like jumped into action and hugged her and mm-hmm. made her cards. And they were so lovely mm-hmm. to her. And this colleague of mine said to me, you know, it's incredible how these children, these middle school students, ministered to me today. Mm. They showed up and they don't have like this junior Holy Spirit within right. them. They don't have like Holy Spirit mini in them. They have the whole thing. They have right. the whole real thing. And that's so very true. And sometimes I think we think that like if we're new to faith or if we're kind of like on a particular part of our journey and our pathway that we've just got like a little bit of the Holy mm-hmm. Spirit in us right. or like we're just getting started and we can't really do that because mm-hmm. we're not there yet. But you actually have the whole thing in you at all times. Like mm-hmm. you have the full blown, the same Holy Spirit that Jesus had in him in you right now, no matter where you are in your journey.
And so beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when I say don't sell yourself short, I mean don't sell the Holy Spirit short because right. you've got all of it in your heart.
Because ultimately we're just conduits.
Yeah.
We're just allowing the Holy Spirit, who is full and complete at yeah. all times, to work through us.
Yes.
Who are equally nothing.
Yeah.
Beloved dust.
Beloved dust.
Yeah.
But it's a big thing that yeah. we don't in a daily life give much thought.
Yeah.
So.
I love that.
Yeah.
Anything else from today's sermon that you want to talk about that hit the cutting room floor involving connection or conflict in connection?
I don't have anything that hit the cutting room floor, but I do want to shout out my friends that I brought up on stage
yes.
with me today.
Oh, yeah, please.
Who just did this like gorgeous job of speaking some of God's languages mm-hmm. that are not English.
Can you, for those who weren't present or didn't yeah. listen ahead of time, can you?
Yeah, there was a lot of scripture in today's sermon, mm-hmm. like a lot. And I've been talking at you for 5 weeks straight, and I'm like not pretending that my voice is something you're not sick of by now. So I invited some of my friends, three of my friends who are journey group leaders who lead intentionally multicultural groups. Mm-hmm. Claudia and Ricardo lead a group that it was born out of a desire to have a Hispano Hablantes group, a mm-hmm. group of Spanish speakers. Mm-hmm. And I think it turned into people who speak Spanish and who speak Portuguese and who only speak English. Mm-hmm. And there's mm-hmm. like a lot of translating that goes on at their group. And it's just this beautiful thing that they described to me. And Lorena read in Portuguese, and she runs a group with women who come from all over the place as mm-hmm. well, who just have all these different stories and different cultural backgrounds. And anyway, I admire them so much because they are women and men of faith, like real, real, tangible, connected to the Creator faith. Mm-hmm. I know for a fact, spend a tremendous amount of time in prayer and in scripture, and it allows them to have these groups where they're really building up the body of Christ with people who are different, you mm-hmm. know, with people yeah. who aren't just, they don't all just look like one way.
Right.
They are different in so many different ways, not just in language, but in experience and life and the types of jobs that they have and the ways that they wound up in the Harbor community. And they just navigate it so gracefully because they have the fruit of the Spirit just pouring out of them. So I had them read scripture today.
Great.
And they read in Spanish and they read in Portuguese. And we got to hear a little bit more of God's languages because he speaks all of them.
Which I think is such a great picture of, like, for some who are only English speaking, hearing that would be surprising. It would be jarring. And even if everyone in the room is totally open to hearing other languages, there is an element of conflict in this, like, different way of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
But by doing so, entering everyone into that conflict, we got to connect to each other, to them, and to God even on a deeper and more powerful level.
Yeah, and also to remember that that's what they do every week.
Right.
Every week they walk in and they hear their second language. And it's just, it's a simple way to remind each other of what one another are going through at any given moment. And, you know, I don't think that, you know, speaking different languages is the kind of conflict that we always think about when we think about times that we need to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. But I just think it's incredible to be reminded whenever possible of just how present God is everywhere and how, it's surprising to, it shouldn't be surprising to us, but to sit down and to just be reminded that there are people, there are adults and children and men and women and people everywhere in every corner of the world who are trying to connect to this same God and produce this same fruit in their life. It's not just us. This isn't the kind of thing that we monopolize in America, in Massachusetts. Oh my goodness, not even close. And there are places, lots of places in the world that are amazed that God is being, you know, worshipped in English in Massachusetts.
Right, sure.
People think that God isn't in Massachusetts.
Yeah, New England is this godless hellscape.
He is
here. Yeah, absolutely.
The Holy Spirit loves us and is equipping us and is doing great things. I think I have felt worship moving really powerfully over the course of these last few weeks. I think that the Holy Spirit is so here and moving, and it's a really exciting time to be doing ministry here.
I agree. So, Amy, here we are. The end of Fighting Words.
I'm going to cry.
First, I just want to say what a great job you have done leading this entire series. Just because it's, not only is it a lot to preach 6 weeks in a row with
five
weeks in a row. Oh, that's nothing.
Yeah, it was a breeze.
Yeah. So, but to preach 5 weeks in a row, but to preach on such a difficult topic about conflict, about entering into difficulties in relationship and the benefits that come from it. Like, it's heavy stuff. So first, I just want to say, well done. I want to honor you for that because I think that's phenomenal. But I want to give you a chance to, like, just speak either anything else that you feel like didn't get said or you would like people to walk away with before we close the door on new messages in that series for now.
Yeah, it really is bittersweet. I would talk about conflict with you people forever, but I know that you would start pulling your hair out at some point. I think the only last bit of encouragement I have is just don't be afraid. As much as you can, avoid being afraid of the hard parts of life and relationships, the more growth you're going to experience. And that's something I've learned just with age and experience, because now that I'm in my mid-30s and I'm, you know, nice and
as you've mentioned twice. Yeah.
No, I know I have a lot of life left to live, hopefully, but it's something I've learned slowly to be unafraid of the challenges that relationships with people entail, because the relationships with people that we have that sometimes are the hardest in our life are in fact the very most rewarding and give us the very clearest glimpse into who God is and what he's doing. And you don't want to miss it. And you miss it when you're afraid, and don't be afraid. God's holding all things together, and there is truth to cling to, and whatever you're going through, if you need to talk about it, come find me.
Yeah, come find Amy.
Or anybody. Yeah, I mean, me too. Anybody, yeah, here. Absolutely. I just think, be unafraid and show up and mm-hmm. do the work. And God is going to provide you with what you need to make it through.
Mm. Beautiful.
Mm.
Thanks, Amy.
Yeah. I didn't expect this to be sad.
Yeah. It's a rightful mourning to move on, to feel that.
Oh, there'll be more podcasts next week. We kick off Esther next week, and it's going to be incredible. Esther's a crazy book where God he's not mentioned by name a single time, and yet it is a very empowering story.
It reads like a really good play.
Yes.
And so it's dramatic. It's going to be a fun series to be in.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So get excited for that. It's going to be an awesome new season.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll see you there.
Yeah.
Peace out.
Peace out, Cub Scout.
Thank you for joining the After Party. You can follow our sermon series online at harborofhope.org, and you can party with us again next week wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you're in the area, please visit us at Harbor of Hope Christian Church on Sundays at 9:30 or 11. Party on.
Are you good? Are you done on your phone?
Sorry. Yes. There were like a million notifications. I'm good. Yeah.
That's fine. I've had a lot of notifications too in the last few days.